What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the pitch coming. Swinging a ball hit to left, tailing toward the line. Pham with a good jump and a backhanded try. It goes off of his glove. He got there, making a good play. The throw to second. Lux is safe. Hayes is in, and Cincinnati leads 2-1. And a hollow sound rolled up first. And Solak running hard all the way, narrowly thrown out. Pirates fall 7-1.
It keeps getting worse. I'm almost out of words here. And yet my job is to say words, and lots of them, and sometimes to write them. I'm at Bowser Chevy, Studio B in Monroeville. Happy to be here. Wonderful place. Limits back in the home office. And I'm just, what they're doing is almost commendable. It is remarkable. I have a couple of suggestions for Bob Nutting. Let's just say I have a couple of suggestions for what he can do with his baseball team. First, I want to quantify this limits. Well, really, first, I want to inquire as to your well-being. Everything okay back in the home office?
Everything is going well here in the home office, Joe. Yes, it is good to talk to you today.
Somebody over at the Pirates said to me earlier this season, not long ago, I keep thinking, it can't get any worse than this, and then the next day comes. Greg Brown just said on Sunday at the end of that game, with Paul Skeen staring blankly at the field after his teammates let him down again, that this is rock bottom for the Pirate offense. Was it, Greg? Was it rock bottom for the Pirates, period? Because it looked like last night was pretty good too, or could qualify for that. The Pirates are now so far under 500, it's almost incalculable. Their winning percentage is .313 limits. Seems like an innocent little number, doesn't it? Little .313. Well, let me tell you about .313. So let's put this in perspective before we move along. The 7-1 loss to Terry Francona's Cincinnati Reds, yes, leaves the Pirates at .313. The last, and believe me, I think as we all know, I don't need to tell you this, that could hold or get worse. Like, this is still a relatively small sample size, although we're all almost a third of the way into the season. As I just said, every time we think it can't get worse on and off the field, it does. The Pirates outdo themselves. So anybody who doesn't think that a .313 winning percentage could hold or get worse, you're out of your minds. Of course, nobody listening believes that. We all know this could get worse. But even at .313, if this were to hold, the last time the Steelers had a winning percentage under .313 was Chuck Knoll's first team in 1969. The last time the Penguins had a winning percentage under .313 was 1983-84, when the coach of the team was literally throwing games so that they'd be positioned to draft Mario Lemieux. And the last Pirate team with a winning percentage below .313 was 1952, Dick Groat's rookie year. Joe Garagiola was on the team, for God's sakes. And before that, you have to go back to 1890 to find one. I mean, this is truly remarkable. Think about that for a second. The 83-84 Penguins, the X-generation Penguins had significantly higher winning percentages than this outfit. They were up in the 350s. Ramsey Abid and Chris Beach, Ross Lupuschuk, Michael Civic, and not the one on All in the Family. That team was significantly better than this. And all those teams were at the beginnings of rebuilds. Some of them, at least one of them, intentionally losing. Chuck Knoll was throwing people off his team so that he could rebuild and start over. They went 1-13. Lou Angotti was the coach of the 83-84 Penguins. He, years later, told me, and we all knew that those Penguins were tanking at an organizational level, sending good players to the minors and recalling bad players. But it goes to another level when the coach says to you, and this is a quote from the now late Lou Angotti, who, by the way, should always be remembered as a Penguins hero, because the Penguins don't exist very likely if it wasn't for him trying to lose games behind the bench. He said to me years later, and I quote, "I can honestly say the players who came to work every day gave all they had. That was the tough part. I was playing against them." That's the coach of a team, and that's, unless somebody can prove me wrong, that's the only time a coach in the history of North American sports has admitted that on the record. "I was playing against them," Lou Angotti said. "It was me against them, them against me," his own players. And he finished by telling me on the record, "They were trying to go out and win, and I was using them to lose." That is the last Penguin team that had a lower winning percentage than this pathetic outfit called the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, I feel like we should all just meditate on that for 5 minutes, but we'd go off the air, wouldn't we, Limits?
We sure would. Moment of silence for the Buccos.
How long before we go off the air on silence? How long before it goes to something else?
About 10 plus seconds.
I mean, think about it. It's breathtaking. It really is. These Pirates are supposed to be at the end of a rebuild. They're designed to win. Didn't Shelty tell Gormy the Owl it's winning time? Oh my God, what have we done? What have you done, Bob Nutting? What have you done, Ben Cherington? What have you done to this baseball franchise? It really is remarkable. So every day we have a new twist on the topic. And by the way, Off the Top brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. And I'd love for you to weigh in at 412-928-9370. Again, I'm at Bowser Chevy out here in Monroeville, Studio B. Two things that need to happen today. One of them is very insignificant compared to the other. It's actually three things when you get right down to it. Tommy Pham needs to be DFA'd. At least pretend that somebody or something is accountable other than the scapegoat manager. Not that Derek Shelton didn't deserve to be fired. He did, but this looks like a scapegoat job. Pretty clear and simple. At least pretend that there's some accountability elsewhere. Why is Tommy Pham still here? He can't catch a fly ball or hit, which he's proven when he's not making an obscene gesture to fans. What are you doing, Bob Nutting? Call down to somebody. Call somebody to your office and say, get rid of that guy. What are you doing? This is like when Art II sat up there and watched George Pickens running around in a nationally televised game with the F word on his face for one of the flagship franchises in the NFL. He's going to sit there and watch that, Art? Or are you going to call down and tell somebody to tell that guy to get that off his face on national television? This is worse, way worse, because it's the Pirates, number one. Tommy Pham is a signal of everything that's wrong with how Bob Nutting runs this franchise. He's a joke of a free agent signing for a little pittance of $4 million, which is a quarter to me or you. When I was looking up all this stuff today, I came across the X Generation Penguins because I was asked in the mailbag, hey, at least the Penguins tried to build around Sid right away. And yeah, it was a salary cap league and there were some differences, but the Penguins hit. on first round picks before and after Sid. That was one. Two, they did bring in people right away comparing his situation to Skeens's right away to try to help him specifically and the team generally. And the first guy was Ziggy Palfy. Now, he just fled in the middle of the season, which is maybe what Skeens should do. Just go to Slovakia tomorrow. But the point was that Ziggy Palfy, in 2005 NHL dollars, signed as a free agent by the Penguins for 3 years and $13.5 million. That's more, way more than anything the Pirates in MLB dollars in 2024-5 did in their offseason to build around Skeens. My God, the Penguins in 2005 committed more money to a player to help their star than the Pirates did in this offseason. The crown jewel of their free agent signings was Tommy freaking Fail. And now we got to watch this guy drop fly balls in the outfield again. DFA him today. And while you're at it, DFA Adam Frazier, who can't lay down a bunt. Have some accountability around here. At least pretend. At least pretend. 412-928-9370. But that's not even the most important thing that should happen today. And I realize nothing matters anymore in life, in the world, and with the Pirates. Nothing matters. Nothing's going to change until the owner changes, and he ain't changing. However, in the meantime, again, there has to be some level of accountability beyond the manager. And now we know, 10 games into the Don Kelly era, yeah, it wasn't the manager. We all knew that anyway. And the manager needed to be fired, but it wasn't the manager. And when Bob Nutting sat down with Jason Mackey, what was it, a week ago? Whenever they fired, 10 days ago, I guess, they fired Shelton. He asked point blank, why didn't you fire Cherington and Travis Williams too? And the rationale on Bob Nutting's part was, well, and I quote, it's a little early to make the change in a season. I believe we can still make a real impact in 2025. Well, that's done. That was a pipe dream anyway, but that's done now. They're 3-7, minus 11 run differential under Kelly. It wasn't the manager. So if that was your rationale for keeping Ben Cherington to save this season, hey, we can still salvage this. This new manager will provide a spark. That's done. That's gone. The season's over. Do not let Ben Cherington run this draft.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't. He's incompetent. Fire him today. Send him out the door with Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier. Bob Nutting told Mackey, I'm not willing to give up on what we expected. I believe we can get significantly better performance. I don't think blowing everything up 38 games into the year is going to help us do that. Okay, now we're 10 games later and nothing's changed. Same winning percentage. Worse, actually. 3 out of 10. Is what they've won. Not happening. Did nothing. Might be even worse. Fire the general manager. Do something, anything, to show people that there's some accountability beyond Derek Shelton. Admit you made a mistake. Come out and say, listen, you know, I thought maybe this would provide that kind of spark immediately, and we needed one immediately. The season needed to be saved. We were already teetering, but nothing's changed. I can see that, and it's time for the GM to go. This man cannot, and will not be permitted to run another draft. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but it's okay to admit you screwed up 10 days ago and fire the GM. that just flat out needs to happen. The lineup again last night was an absolute disgrace and an unbelievable indictment of Ben Cherington in year six. And I don't give a crap who's injured, who's not, whatever. Key Brian Hayes, who you signed to a $70 million deal, was your leadoff hitter. He has a .294 on-base percentage. That's your leadoff guy. That was a bad contract. Andrew McCutchen, who I believe is now below 200 in May, with one extra base hit, is your number two hitter. You keep bringing him back. He's actually been pretty good, like on a real team. He could be, you know, a DH and hit seventh or eighth for sure. But he's a guy that I feel like you brought back this year as sort of a look over here, don't look over there, you know, Wizard of Oz type thing. We're bringing back beloved Andrew McCutchen. But as far as actually helping Paul Skenes, our big move was Spencer Horwitz and Tommy Pham. Your three-hitter, Brian Reynolds, is one of the worst players in baseball this season. Although I get it, you know, it's not like every year he seems to produce numbers, oftentimes too late, but he does. But he's your three-hitter right now in the midst of this. Joey Bart, who actually has decent counting numbers but only one home run, is your cleanup hitter. Was there a team in baseball last night whose cleanup hitter has one home run? Canario looks like Willie Mays in this lineup, although he's batting .230. He's been okay lately. Nick Solak? Is that his name, Limits?
That's his name. Yeah, he was hitting .390 in the minors. Congrats to him.
Yeah, so was I. He's 30 years old. He has a great story, by the way, but that's not what this is about. He's hitting .100. Tommy Pham, we've talked about. Kiner Falefa has been a mediocre hitter his entire career. He's probably outperforming that. So why is he batting eighth, you might ask? And then Triolo, who has, you know, a gold glove, but something less than that with the bat, is hitting .145. And then the great Horwitz at .143 comes in as a pinch hitter. He pinch hit for a guy. He pinch hit, and his average is less than the guy who's hitting .145. They didn't use Adam Frazier. I guess they didn't need somebody to sacrifice bunt to the pitcher again. It's just a disgrace. And Bob Nutting needs to come out and say, I thought we'd get an immediate spark from the manager. That's why I kept the GM. We didn't. The season is basically, it's time to look ahead. And I cannot let this guy run another draft. By all rights, this day should not end with Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier, and especially and far and above those two, Ben Cherington still with the Pirates. By the way, when you combine Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier Limits, you have Tommy Frazier, one of Malzi's all-time favorite quarterbacks.
Oh, very nice. Do you think that he'll be able to come in and hit .280?
Listen, somebody asked me again in the mailbag today if Skenes could hit. How old is Tommy Frazier? I promise you, with the kind of athlete he was, he could come in and out-hit Jared Triolo. Like, what we're asking, Tommy Frazier, he's 50. He lives in Bradenton. If he trained for a couple weeks, I mean, he could hit .100, couldn't he? Couldn't he get one hit? Did he play baseball in his career?
If they brought Barry Bonds back for, let's say, 2 weeks, sign him to like a 2-week contract, like an NBA 10-day deal, would he perform better than half of this lineup?
I mean, the question would be, how old is Barry Bonds now? Can you look that up? The question would be...
He's 60 now.
Could a 60-year-old Barry Bonds out-hit Jiwon Bae, who was, what, 1-for-11? Absolutely he could. Jack Sawinski, could he hit a homer in 40 at-bats? Sawinski didn't. Could he out-hit Triolo at .145? I honestly believe he could.
I do, too. I think he would do it.
I really do. I think a 60-year-old Barry Bonds could hit .150. You give him a couple weeks to train. How about Tommy Pham? Could he out-hit him at .183 and zero home runs and 115 at-bats? And how unbelievably insulting It was to hear. Shelty, first of all, tell us at the beginning of the year through all fam struggles, which haven't ended or come close to it, oh, he'll be okay. And then Charrington, as if he wasn't a worry, right? Telling us about this guy's leadership, professionalism, toughness. Wasn't that the thing that Charrington emphasized the last time he spoke to the media was toughness?
Izzy MZ, Peggy Tree.
I'm not going to talk about waxing carrots like Crowley did, but that's the most notable thing this guy has done all season. Talk about a disgrace. So based on what Bob Nutting told Mackey 10 days ago upon the firing of Shelty, it's time to move on from the GM. How he can look at this situation and come to any other conclusion is beyond me. And then again, with the players, how Tommy Pham can be here even one more day is unfathomable. You could say it's unfathomable. Couldn't you, Limits, if you wanted to?
We Are Family is getting broken up, Joe. The family is going for a divorce. There will be reunions anytime soon.
It's past time. It really is. What are your thoughts on all this, Limits? And I'd love to discuss it with you out there, 412-928-9370. And yes, I'm aware, nothing's going to change. Nothing matters. As long as Nutting is at the head of the snake, so to speak, here, I get it. But in the meantime, what needs to happen? The first thing that needs to happen is Ben Charrington needs to be fired today, like right now. Right now. That just needs to happen. He has failed in epic fashion. And while all the problems, including the hiring of Charrington himself, begin with Bob Nutting, that doesn't mean that other GMs haven't won on similar payrolls. Even here, Neil Huntington, no, he didn't win overall because it's impossible almost to do that. He had a 474 winning percentage here. And he also failed really to draft and develop enough over the years, but he did perform the miracle of getting them to the playoffs three times in a row. And GMs in Tampa have won, and GMs in Oakland and Cleveland have won, and things like that. So Ben Charrington, the idea of letting him run this draft is, it just can't happen. It can't happen. I mean, there's people all over baseball who are preparing constantly for the draft and also preparing in case a GM gets fired somewhere. There are people who are ready to walk in and run a draft. And if you have to hand it over to one of Charrington's lieutenants, even though the scary part is that he hired a lot of these guys, then do that too. It just can't be him. Limits?
I saw a stat that Denny D'Amelio put out there of Pittsburgh baseball now that Mitch Keller has a 3.17 ERA in his last eight starts, and the Pirates are 0-7 in his last seven outings.
It's almost worse than the scheme situation.
I mean, we talk about Mitch Keller as, you know, how good of a pitcher he is. He's been pitching very well for them as of late, and he has gotten absolutely no run support. And, Joe, what's really unfortunate, and you know how much I love baseball, the Derek Shelton move, I think, gave them a little bit of a spark, like a little bit, maybe not an olive branch to the fan base, but it grabbed a lot of people's attention again when they moved off the manager and they put Donnie Kelly into that position, a move that a lot of people wanted.
Yeah,
I feel like Charrington would be a similar one because I'm very concerned, Joe, about just general interest level with the Pirates right now. Like we were talking about that a lot with the Penguins. Where is it with the Pirates now?
How many did they get last night? Did you see the Brett Kiesel little video? Brett Kiesel was at the game last night. Looked like in the upper deck somewhere. Or maybe, you know,
I think
mid-tier.
He was in the suites.
Mid-tier, probably the suites, yes. And just panned across the essentially empty ballpark with a one-word tweet, which, or maybe it was Instagram, I don't know. Shame is all
tweet.
It said.
10,842 last night.
Yeah, it was the announced attendance.
The announced.
Eight was the actual attendance. I counted them. This is just a travesty, a daily travesty. And Bob Nutting needs to do something right, something, anything. And the right move is to admit he got it wrong 10 days ago, that it wasn't the manager, clearly, since they're 3-7 since then, and it's getting worse with Don Kelly. And yeah, the GM needs to go too, and so does Travis Williams. It's time for all that. Will it change anything? Probably not. Doesn't mean it shouldn't happen.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.